perhaps imprisoned, tortured, killed. And here's Lord Chaitanya dancing in kirtan, really close to the palace where the Naub Hussein Shah was. And he was inviting everyone to come and chant with him. The people of Ramkeli, they became fearless just by Lord Chaitanya's association. What brought about that fearlessness? It wasn't that he was coming and showing, I have bigger weapons, and I have a bigger military, and I will protect you. It was his love. It was his compassion. It was his transcendental nature. They felt Krishna. Abhay charanaravindare. When we take shelter of Krishna, we become fearless. Just by taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya, they became fearless. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes the nature of this kirtan. Countless people dancing blissfully. Lord Chaitanya, he was weeping in ecstasy, tasting the love of Krishna while chanting the holy names and seeing millions of people doing the same. It was quite incredible. The police superintendent, the person who was in charge of that division for law enforcement, he went to Naub Hussein Shah, the king. The king said, what is that noise I'm hearing? He said, there's a sannyasi there. The king said, well, I'm hearing so much noise. Please tell me, who is this sannyasi? Where is he coming from? What's he doing? He said, he's mesmerizing everybody. He's chanting ghostly mantras from a religion of faithless persons. But the effect, as he's singing, he's dancing, and he's so beautiful. His complexion is like molten gold. His eyes are like fully blossomed lotus petals that practically reach to his ears. Every one of his limbs is the most beautiful thing in all creation that anyone could ever see. And how he dances, it's so graceful. From his eyes, tears are pouring like two rivers. His hairs are standing erect. When he falls to the ground, he jumps really high and then falls right on that hard ground. And almost every minute he does that. He jumps in the air. He's chanting these mantras. He goes unconscious in some sort of a trance. He falls to the ground. He gets up and chants. There's no bruises on his body. He's not injured. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen eyes that could cry so many tears hour after hour after hour after hour. And everyone's mesmerized. He has hundreds and thousands, millions of people chanting with him fearlessly. They're not even afraid of us. I've seen a lot of sannyasis in my life, but I've never seen anyone like this. He has such compassion, and he has such love. And anyone who comes in contact with him, that love and compassion awakens in their own hearts. The Naub Hussein Shah wanted to know more. He called for Kesha, who is a devotee of the Lord. He's a Hindu. Keshava Chhatri. He asked him, my police superintendent was telling me something about this Sri Chaitanya. What do you know about him? Keshava Chhatri, he became very worried because he knew how evil and mean and violent the king was. So to protect Lord Chaitanya, he said, whatever of your servants who told you things about him, they're lying. They're exaggerating. Don't believe them. I know who this person is. Sri Chaitanya is just a poor beggar. He has a few people around him. He's singing and dancing. Don't even take him serious. Nawab Hussain Shah became very angry. He said, why are you blaspheming? Why you are saying that he is poverty stricken? Why you are saying he's just an ordinary sannyasi with a few followers? He's the supreme personality of Godhead. Who the Hindus call Ram and Krishna, Bhagavan, Param Brahma, who the Quran calls Koda, that one supreme God has come to my kingdom, and you're calling him a poor sannyasi? How dare you speak like that? What ignorance you are having. He says, what is his power? He's attracting hundreds and thousands of people and they're surrendering their lives to him. They'll do anything for him. I'm a king. If I don't pay people, they'll criticize me. Or they'll leave my service. He's not paying anybody anything and they're giving their lives forever for him. I declare today that whatever this sannyasi Sri Chaitanya is doing, no one should interfere. Let him have his kirtans as long as he wants, anywhere he wants. And anyone who interferes with him, I will put to death. Keshava Chhatri listened. This is the effect Lord Chaitanya had on Nawab Hussain Shah. And he didn't even see him directly. It was just by hearing about his pastimes. The Yajnapatnis, the Brahmins' wives, they didn't see Krishna. They just heard about him. And they totally fell in love with him. This is the power of Shravanam, or the process of hearing. Can transform our lives. Throughout Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's benedictions given at the end of so many leelas. That one who hears this will see Lord Chaitanya directly. One who hears this will be freed from the noose of all karmic reactions. One who hears this will attain the treasure of eternal Krishna prema, ecstatic love for Krishna. So many benedictions like this. And hearing is something that's forever. Krishna performed his pastimes in Vrindavan, and he empowered Shukadeva Goswami to speak them. When Krishna performed his leelas in Vrindavan, it was just the most intimate devotees than Nityasiddhas, the eternal associates who descended with him from Goloka, or sometimes, you know, the very, very fortunate people who attained spiritual perfections in bhakti, who came to join his lila from a previous, after a previous birth of devotion. But Shukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, so that those same lilas are available for everyone, everywhere, for all time. It's really incredible. Because Krishna is absolute. He's not different than his name. He's not different than his pastimes. Srinbatam sukata krishna punya sravana kirtana hridyantasto yabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. One who just develops an attachment and a taste for hearing about Krishna. Krishna within the heart is so pleased, he cleanses us of all of our anarthas and reveals himself. Shushushroshadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi syan mahatsevaya viprapunya tiratana sevana. One can understand the book Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatams. By serving great souls, by hearing from them, by pleasing them, Krishna is so pleased that he awakens that taste for hearing about his glories. And when he awakens that taste for hearing about his glories, he gives himself to that devotee. How precious it is to hear about Krishna. This Harikatha is a foundational principle in our spiritual lives. But we have to hear it with the right attitude to get the right benefit. In a service attitude, in a submissive attitude, in a humble attitude, in an attitude where we understand the necessity to associate, the necessity to serve, and the necessity to hear. Having a hunger. Hunger means no false ego. When we have a false ego, we're feeling ourselves very full. Lord Chaitanya told Devananda Pandit, to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, first thing you have to do is you have to feel that you do not understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you think you understand Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the evidence that you are ignorant and you cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. But when you're in a humble role and you understand that you do not understand Srimad Bhagavatam, and you conceive how unlimited this knowledge is and how unlimited Krishna's pastimes are, and you feel completely humbled by it, Srimad Bhagavatam's an ocean of nectar. And when you're standing on the shore of an ocean, you feel yourself insignificant. You don't feel yourself great. You understand the ocean's great. So the more we understand Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we understand how glorious it is, how infinite it is. He said, in order to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to feel that you cannot understand it. You have to take shelter. You have to surrender. Then only does Krishna reveal the true understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Devananda Pandit was speaking Bhagavatam and had so many disciples, and he was so eloquent. He knew the verses. He could recite them poetically. mesmerize people's minds, captures attention, and so scholarly. He practically knew the scripture by memory. He was so expert. But he didn't understand any of it. Because it's not just a philosophical understanding. The purpose of the whole philosophy is to love Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, to serve Krishna with our heart and soul. And that realization can only come when Krishna gives it. Bhakti is a descending process. It's bestowed upon us. And Krishna makes very clear in the Srimad Bhagavatam through the example of his devotees and Bhagavad Gita by his own teachings. Bhaktya tvananiya shakya aham evam vidhorjana. Gyatam drastam chatatvena praveshtam chaparandhava. Only when a person has true devotion can they understand me as I am. Kamsa was seeing Krishna. Duryodhana was seeing Krishna. Hiranyakashipu was seeing Narasimhadev. Hiranyaksha was seeing Varahadev. But they hated him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to torture his devotees. So even if you see with your eyes, even if Krishna's standing before you, you can't understand unless Krishna reveals himself. When one's eyes are anointed with the salve of love, then one can see Krishna everywhere and in everything, because Krishna reveals himself. Nawab Hussain Shah was glorifying Lord Chaitanya. Keshava Chatri was amazed. But he was thinking that right now he's hearing all these incredible things about Lord Chaitanya. So he's glorifying him as he's the Supreme Lord and he's making laws to protect him. But if he hears something else, he might change his mind. So Lord Chaitanya shouldn't stay here. Meanwhile, the people of Ramakeli, especially the pious devotees, when they heard that he made this law and they heard what he was saying, they were talking among themselves, the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wherever he goes, he destroys Hindu temples. He punishes people for any type of exercising of their religion in public. He's mean, he's cruel, he's envious. But now he's glorifying Lord Chaitanya. Just see how he has been transformed. They were all talking among themselves, but they were all fearful that he could change his mind. So Keshava Chatri sent a Brahmin with a message to Lord Chaitanya, please leave Ramakeli soon. It's very dangerous here for you and for everyone else. And the Brahmin came with this message. When he came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting the holy names with such enthusiasm. And seeing everybody else dancing and chanting with enthusiasm was increasing his enthusiasm. His arms were raised. He was completely oblivious to the external world. He was literally bathing everyone around him with the tears of his love. This Brahmin was standing with the message for hours and hours. And he was telling the devotees, like Nityananda Prabhu and others, please give this message. It's really dangerous that he's here. This king is cruel. He's unpredictable. He could send his armies. Just leave. Right now he's in a good mood, but leave now. And so the devotees got very worried when they heard this. But the general people of Ramkeli, they had no fear at all. They were chanting and dancing, fearless. If Lord Chaitanya is with us, nothing can disturb us. So this is a very interesting analysis. That the devotees were worried. The intimate associates of the Lord were worried. But the general masses were not worried at all. Because if Lord Chaitanya was going to get punished, everyone was going to get punished. So the general masses, with Lord Chaitanya, nothing can hurt us. But the confidential associates were, they might hurt Lord Chaitanya. So even the devotees were trying to get the message to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it was impossible. Nobody could talk to him. His mind, his senses, his entire being was totally immersed in complete absorption in chanting Krishna's holy name. Hours went by. Days went by. Lord Chaitanya wasn't eating. He wasn't sleeping. He wasn't hearing anything except the holy names. He wasn't speaking anything but the holy names. There was nothing but the holy names. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, I have considered the entire 14 worlds and I've come to the conclusion that there's only your holy name. There's nothing else that can save us. Absorption is very much the key of chanting. When we're chanting our japa, when we're in kirtan, to absolutely, truly absorb ourselves. And in any service we're doing, whatever service we're doing, when we're hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, when we're absorbed in hearing, absorbed in our deity worship, absorbed in our cooking, absorbed in our occupational duties for Krishna, when we're absorbed in Krishna in a mood of service, and especially to be absorbed in kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the personification as the teacher of the whole world how to do kirtan. So the devotees were getting more and more worried because time was passing and days were passing and they could not get the message to Lord Chaitanya. Meanwhile, that Brahmin who had the message, he had to go. He just told the devotees, please tell him to leave, but I have to leave. And he left. And finally, after several days, Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness. He was told by the devotees that this king, he's very cruel. And it's very, very unpredictable what's going to come. So we should leave this place now. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, well, we are chanting the holy names. We have nothing to fear. I am here with you. Why are you fearful? If the king calls for me, I have no obligation to come to him. And unless I give him the inspiration to call for me, he can't even call for me. And if he comes here, What will he say? What will he say to me? He said, you have nothing to fear. Then Lord Chaitanya spoke one of his most famous teachings. He said, I have descended, I have advented into this world to give love for Krishna to the whole universe through the congregational chanting of my holy names. In every town and village throughout the world, my name will be chanted. This is a place where that wonderful message was stated. And just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling the devotees there to have faith, Srila Prabhupada had that faith. He had that faith in Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He had that faith in Lord Chaitanya's prediction. With Lord Chaitanya in his heart and his guru's instruction, he traveled. He left India with $8, 40 rupees. And within the next 11 years, he traveled around the world about 13 times. He left India. He went to almost every country in Europe. Went to Russia. Almost every major city, towns, and villages. He traveled all around America. He went to Central America, to South America, Australia, Africa. And just this last year, some devotees took a deity of Prabhupada to Antarctica. Celebrating the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. Because he went to every continent on the planet except Antarctica. So on the 50th anniversary, they wanted, so nobody could ever say again, every continent except Antarctica. Now we can honestly say he went to every continent. They took photos. Have any of you seen those photos? Raise your hands, please. The photos I saw, there's many of them, but it's all snow and ice. And the devotees who came, they have the deity of Prabhupada, they're not wearing dhotis. It's way, way below zero. They're wearing these big, huge coats, and they have a murti of Prabhupada, and he's wearing this big, thick coat. And they set him up on this block of ice surrounded by snow, and they're doing arti for him. They're having kirtan and doing arti. And in the photo, you see seals coming up to have darshan of Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya, he predicted there in Ramkeli, of all places, to make this prediction. The place where the chanting of the holy names was totally illegal and punishable by death. He's predicting that in every town and village my name will be chanting. Srila Prabhupada had that faith. And it was that faith in Lord Chaitanya's mercy, his compassion. Parama karuna pahundui jana nitai goru chandra. That is our qualification. After he said that, he started the kirtan again. They continued chanting and dancing for some days. And seeing that the devotees were so worried, finally Lord Chaitanya ended the kirtan. And he went to a private place away from everyone else except Nityananda Prabhu and a few other devotees. Meanwhile, the Nawabhusayan Shah called two of his chief ministers, Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, and asked them, "Who is this Sri Chaitanya? I hear so many things about what he's doing and what his influence is." Rupa Goswami, or Dabir Khas, said to him, "You are the king. Therefore, you're the representative of God within this kingdom. So you know better than me." Whatever is in your heart, you should understand that to be the truth. Late at night, incognito, in disguise, Sakar Malik and Dabir Khas, along with their brother, Sri Ballabha, they went to visit Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was sitting in a place where today, even today, there was a tamal tree and a kadamba tree. First they approached Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Haridas Thakur and expressed their sincere desire for the darshan of the Lord. By the mercy of Haridas Thakur and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, they brought Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik before Lord Chaitanya. The three brothers, they prostrated themselves and offered prayers to express their humility according to the custom at the time. They had straw between their teeth. There was cloth wrapped around their necks. All three brothers were crying profusely in humility. They said that we are of the lowest position in society. Everything about us is abominable. We have no qualification to come here to meet you. We are so abominable, engaged in supporting vicious activities, sinful activities. We are servants of malechas and yavanas who are causing such cruelty and pain to others. And because we are assisting them, we are the most sinful. Where are we going to go? What hope do we have? We are feeling so depressed. But you are Patita Pavana. You are the deliverer who's giving mercy to the most fallen. And if you search the whole world, you will not find anyone more fallen and abominable than us. Because we want your name to be glorified throughout the universe as truly the deliverer of the most fallen, therefore we are begging you, please deliver us. We have heard the story of how you delivered Jagai and Madhai, but that was not difficult for you. Jagai and Madhai were Brahmins who were born in Navadvip, this holy place of pilgrimage. Their only fault was they're addicted to sinful activities. But simply by the chanting of your holy names, they became completely cleansed. That was not difficult for you. But Jagai and Madhai never became the servants of wicked, sinful people. We are much more degraded and fallen than even Jagai and Madhai. But we have nowhere else to go but you. In hope of your mercy, we're like little tiny dwarfs who have a hope of catching the moon. But hope against hope, we know we have nowhere else to go except you. Please accept us. Bestow your mercy upon us. We surrender our lives to you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he placed his feet on their heads, his lotus feet. Then he lifted them up and embraced them. He said, "Please stop speaking this way. Your humility is breaking my heart." What does that mean? Humility is breaking my heart. I'll give you my particular thought. The humility of Rupa and Sanatan, Kabir Khas and Sakar Malik, their humility broke open the heart so that the treasure of love of God could flow from it. Just like the Panchatattva broke open the treasure house of love of God and distributed the content profusely, so that treasure is his compassion. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Kodakrishna. That supreme compassion is within his heart. Our humility breaks open so that love, that compassion flows to us. And then we can distribute it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then initiated them, gave them the names Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami and Anupam. He said, "I have received several messages from you, but I didn't answer them. But I came here just for you." Actually, Ram Kali is not on the way to Vrindavan. Actually, the only reason I really came to Bengal at all is only to come to be with you. I have no interest, especially in this Ram Kali. But I came only to see you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his complete causeless mercy upon Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatan Goswami. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami have given us the most intimate details of the love of the gopis in Sri Goloka Vrindavan. They have given the deepest, most systematic explanation of rasa tattva that's ever been revealed in this world. But if we want to understand anything that they're saying in truth, we have to follow in their footsteps. And it begins with following in the footsteps of their humility. Rupin Sanatan Goswami told Lord Chaitanya that you are going to Vrindavan with so many millions of people. But that will cause a disturbance in Vrindavan, and also you will not be able to truly appreciate Vrindavan. Better you go alone or with one other. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his complete mercy upon them. And he continued his journey. He came to Kanai Natashala. There, it's like a little Vrindavan in Bengal. It's a beautiful place. Even today, the Ganga is over a kilometer wide, and it circles on three sides, Kanai Natashala. There's kadamba trees, tamal trees, banyan trees. It's just like Vrindavan there. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting and appreciating so much, but all these thousands and thousands and thousands of people were walking around. And he was thinking, what Sanatan Goswami told me is correct. I should not go to Vrindavan with so many people. Suddenly, Lord Chaitanya said, we will go back to Puri. And he started going the other direction. But while he was in Ramkeli, he looked toward the Padma River and started to cry in ecstasy, calling out, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. And devotees didn't know what he was saying. But they came to the conclusion, a great soul named Narottam will be born where he is gazing. And he told Nityananda Prabhu that I am depositing the ecstasy of my love in the Padma River. And when Narottam comes here, who will be born in the future, you should present to him the ecstasy of my love and fill his heart with it. That became the great historical moment when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to the world Narottam Das Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his way back to Puri. Should I continue? He stopped in Shantipur. But just before Lord Chaitanya arrived, a beautiful pastime took place. At Advaita Bhavan, the house of Sri Advaita Acharya, a sannyasi came. Very pure-hearted sannyasi. Advaita Acharya, although he is avatar of Sadashiva, Mahavishnu, and the leader of all the Vaishnavas in Navadvipa and Mayapur, the leader of all the Brahmins in Shantipur, such an exalted person, when he saw a sannyasi come to his house, he offered his dandavat pranams, prostrated obeisances. He offered the sannyasi a sitting place. What beautiful prayers. He said, please take prasad. The sannyasi said, I have a question for you. Advaita Prabhu said, please honor prasad, then we could talk anything. We have prasad ready for you. He said, first answer my question. Advaita said, we have all day to, please take prasad, you're my guest. Sannyasi said, first answer my question. So Advaita Acharya, with great humility, he said, what is your question? He said, please tell me, who is Keshav Bharati Maharaj in relationship to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Now, Dvaitacharya thought about it. Chaitanya Bhagavata tells us what Dvaitacharya was thinking. Such a wonderful scripture. He was thinking there's an internal and an external way of explaining this. Internally, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Guru of everyone, and Keshav Bharati is his eternal servant. But externally, for the sake of his pastimes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas from Keshav Bharati. Therefore, Keshav Bharati Maharaj is Lord Chaitanya's guru. And Advaitacharya was thinking that it's most favorable to explain the external first before the internal. Because it's what's understood by society. So with that conclusion, he said to the sannyasi, Keshav Bharati is Lord Chaitanya's guru. At that time, Advaita Prabhu's 5-year-old son, Achyutananda, he came running in the room. He was so beautiful. He was just a little boy. Every limb was so delicate. He had a shining complexion. Chaitanya Bhagavat says, he looked like a little Kartikeya running around. And this little 5-year-old boy with a high voice, he ran up to his father, right in front of the sannyasi. He said, Father, what are you saying? This is nonsense. Are you saying that Keshav Bharati Maharaj is Lord Chaitanya's guru? Are you saying that Lord Chaitanya has a guru? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of God. It is the cause of all causes. He's the source of everything. He's everyone's guru. What are you saying, Father? You are supposed to be a learned scholar. You are supposed to be teaching me the highest topics. Now I could understand. If you are saying like this, then Kali Yuga is really having an effect. My dear father, you are in Maya. The illusory energy of Maya is so powerful. Even Brahma becomes confused. And now I see that even you are being covered over by material nature, illusion. How could anyone be Lord Chaitanya's guru? Sri Chaitanya, when he inhales, all the cosmic universes are destroyed within the pores of his body. And you're saying somebody is his guru? A lotus flower grows out of Lord Chaitanya's navel. And on that lotus flower, Lord Brahma, the father of every single living being in this universe, was born. And Lord Brahma was completely bewildered. He looked around and he just saw nothing except darkness. He was bewildered. He started climbing down the stem of the lotus to find out, who am I? Where am I? What am I supposed to do? But he couldn't see anything. He just saw the causal ocean with its massive waves. And Brahma climbed back up in the lotus. He again sat in the whirl of the lotus flower. And he heard these two words, tapa, and performed tapasya. And then Lord Chaitanya in the form of Vishnu appeared to him and gave him all knowledge. And Brahma, he gave that knowledge to Sanaka and the four Kumaras. And then through disciplic succession, that knowledge has been passed down through all the yugas. And you're saying Lord Chaitanya has a guru? Why are you bewildering me? Why are you bewildered? Lord Chaitanya is the guru of all gurus. When Advaita Acharya heard his son speaking like this, his heart exploded in ecstasy. He was so proud. He lifted up little tiny Achyutananda and embraced him and literally soaked his body completely with his tears and danced. Holding little Achyutananda in his arms, he danced and danced and danced and was speaking to Achyutananda. I'm so proud of you. From this day on, Advaita said, you are my father. You have understood the inner essence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation. Achyutananda became very shy when he heard this, and he just looked down. And while all this was going on, the sannyasi everyone forgot about him. He offered his dandavat pranams to Advaitacharya and Achyutananda. And softly he said to himself, like father, like son. Just as the father is so great, the son is so great. And in his heart he was meditating upon taking the dust of the lotus feet of little Achyutananda and Advaitacharya. They had both revealed to him the highest truth. He was totally satisfied. He didn't need prasad. While Advaita and Achyutananda were dancing, the sannyasi left. Just a few minutes later, without any advanced warning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared at the doorstep of Advaitacharya's house. He laid his body before Lord Chaitanya. He took the dust of the feet of Lord Chaitanya on his head. Lord Chaitanya lifted him up and embraced him. They both bathed each other in their tears of love, spiritual love. Everyone in the house of Advaita Prabhu became overwhelmed with joy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. Please understand, they hadn't seen him in so many years. Lord Chaitanya, after taking sannyas, came to the house. Then he went to Puri, then he went to South India, then he was in Puri. Suddenly, little Achyutananda realized Lord Chaitanya was there, and he came running to Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, and he offered his dandavat pranams. Lord Chaitanya saw him, and his heart melted. He lifted up little Achyutananda and put him on his lap and embraced him and literally bathed the Achyutananda with his tears. Everyone in the house was watching the wonderful affection Lord Chaitanya had on this little child and the incredible depth of ecstatic love this little boy had for Lord Chaitanya. How can a 5-year-old little child have such incredible knowledge of the conclusions of all the scriptures? And such spontaneous detachment from everything in this world and total attachment to Lord Chaitanya. It's a great wonder. No one was envious. Everyone's hearts We're celebrating the beautiful fortune of little Achyutananda. They were having kirtans. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given wonderful prasad by Advaita and Sita Thakurani. And Advaita Prabhu sent message to Sachi Devi in Navadvip that Lord Chaitanya is here. Please come immediately. When the message reached Sachi Devi's house, she hadn't seen her son in 5 years. They put her on a palanquin to bring her quickly. She was very old. At the same time, all the devotees of Navadvip heard this news and they all came to the house of Advaita Prabhu on the banks of the Ganga. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the crest jewel of all sannyasis, saw his mother, Sachi, he offered his dandavat pranams. He laid his body in full prostration before the feet of his mother. He cried out, "You are the universal mother. You are Devaki. You are Yashoda. You are Kaushalya. You are Anusuya. You are Devahuti. You are Prishni. You are the mother of all the various incarnations of the Supreme. And now you have appeared as Sachi Devi. You are Bhumi Devi. Sachi is actually the mother of all living beings, if we see it from a philosophical perspective. Lord Chaitanya said that you nourished me with so much affection. I took birth from your womb, and from that time in my whole life, you protected me. You never considered or thought anything about your own convenience or inconvenience. Everything you did in your life was only for my happiness. Whatever devotion I have for Krishna, I have received it from you. We glorified his mother in every way, as everyone was watching on in great happiness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his most pleasurable pastime is glorifying with his devotees. Sachi Mata, she only had one request. As long as my son Nimai is here in Shantipur, let me cook for him. She cooked. For the pleasure of Lord Gauranga, she knew he liked shak. She cooked about 20 different varieties of shak. In fact, every vegetable they brought her, she made about 20 preparations, different. She made an incredible feast for Lord Chaitanya. And then other ladies and housewives were coming and helping her. But she cooked everything with her own hands, her motherly love. She put, in a very artistic way, she put the whole offering in the center of a room and invited Lord Chaitanya to come and take prasad with his devotees. The devotees sat around as Lord Chaitanya alone was eating the preparations. And each thing he was eating, between mouthfuls, he was glorifying the preparation. Every particular variety of sake he was eating, he would give the name of the sake and tell a benediction of what will, what, if one takes this particular type of sake, one will get love for Krishna. If one eats this kind of sake, one will get liberation from all material bondage. If one takes this type of sake, one will experience the highest ecstasies. If one takes this type of sake, one will be very healthy. He was giving so many benedictions. He was glorifying the prasad like he would glorify kirtan. And when he finished the prasad and he washed himself, and then he went to take rest, all the devotees very eagerly ran to get his remnants. Just imagine what was their meditation when they were eating those Mahamaha Prasad remnants. It was cooked by the hands of Sachidevi. Yashoda Mai. She was cooking for the first time personally for Lord Chaitanya, her son, in over 5 years. Because separation makes meeting even sweeter. So after so long in separation, Sachi Mata's cooking for Lord Chaitanya, her motherly love was pouring into each molecular particle of that prasad. It was cooked by Mother Sachi. That Mahaprasad was infused with her ecstatic love for her son, Krishna Chaitanya. It was infused with union after long separation, when the love is sweetest. And then it was eaten by Lord Chaitanya. It was touched by his hands, touched by his lips, seen by his eyes. Lord Chaitanya was glorifying everything about the prasad. He was glorifying how it looked, how it felt when he touched it, what its fragrance was, what its taste was. Lord Chaitanya enjoyed that prasad with all of his five senses, with his mind, with his heart. Because it was infused with love. This is what the devotees were so eager to eat, to honor. That was a great festival, just honoring all the prasad. Sachi Mata and Advaitacharya appealed to Lord Chaitanya to stay for some days. Throughout the day, throughout the night, together they enjoyed kirtan. Advaita Prabhu informed Lord Chaitanya that the next day was the appearance day of Sripad Madhavendra Puri. Advaitacharya's guru, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's param guru. Every year, Sri Advaita Prabhu had a glorious celebration for the appearance of Madhavendra Puri. And all of the family of Advaita looked forward to this event. Whatever he had, he would utilize as an offering to Madhavendra Puri, especially on this day. Madhavendra Puri, he was a desired tree of Goloka Vrindavan who descended to this world. Jananivas Prabhu explained to me that in the most confidential kunja, or groves of Vrindavan, where Shri Shri Radha Govinda Dev perform their most confidential, loving, intimate pastimes, or even the Sakis keep a distance, or sometimes even the Manjaris keep a little distance. Those pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Govinda are performed under a particular kalpa vriksha tree that is serving them and witnessing them when they're alone. That kalpa vriksha tree appears in this world as Madhavendrapuri. In the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, he was the first to reveal openly the perfection that one can achieve by entering into the Madhurya Ras, the conjugal loving pastimes of Radha Gopinath. At Remuna, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was discussing the life of Madhavendra Puri, he recited that one beautiful prayer that Madhavendra Puri chanted during his last days in this world, just before his disappearance day. It was the prayer that Sri Radharani offered to Krishna in separation. She's praying to Krishna, who's now in Mathura, and she's expressing the deep, unbearable separation she's feeling. And she's asking, what should I do? When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeated that beautiful verse, he, over and over again, he was dancing in ecstasy. And he spoke. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells, in all of creation, for all time, there are only three people who can understand the inner meaning of this prayer in full. One is Srimati Radharani, who originally spoke it. Two is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna with the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. And three is Madhavendra Puri. His unique exalted position is beyond compare. He came to give people of this world entrance into Goloka Vrindavan, into the conjugal loving affairs of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But when he was in this world, he saw so much false ego, upadis, people identifying with all these external identities. He saw so much materialism, people fighting, people having wars, people trying to be happy through so many material acquisitions, sense gratification, subtle, gross, everywhere. Even pundits were so materialistic and so misguided. Madhavendra Puri, who had descended from Goloka, was looking for another devotee to have association with, but he couldn't find any. His absorption in Krishna was so great, if he would see a blue cloud, he would remember Krishna and fall unconscious. When when he would hear Krishna's name, he would go into an ecstatic state, and all the symptoms of ecstatic love fest upon him. But his compassionate heart, he was feeling so pained to see the situation of the world in Kali Yuga. He decided he would just go to the forest because nobody really wanted to hear from him. But just before he was going to execute that plan of going to the forest, he happened to travel through Shantipur and he met Advaita. They both had the same heart. Their love for Krishna that they shared for each other manifested such love for each other. Sri Advaitacharya accepted Madhavendra Puri as his guru. Madhavendra Puri accepted Advaitacharya as his life and soul. Advaitacharya started making the arrangements for the festival. And everyone was excited. All the people around, all the family members, the devotees who came with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were all volunteering. So much enthusiasm. This is the standard of what a festival means. Festival is not just you hire people to do things and then you come and enjoy. That's not what Mahaprabhu did when he and his associates celebrated festivals. It was the enthusiasm for the festival, where everyone was so excited to give happiness to each other by giving happiness to Krishna. One person said, "I will make the flower garlands." Another, "I will pick the flowers." Another said, "I will wash the pots." They were really enthusiastic. Another said, I will purchase the sandalwood and grind the sandalwood. Another said, I will cut the sabjis. Another said, I will welcome all the guests that come. And another said, I will wash the feet of every devotee that comes. Another said, I will put up the decorations. In this way, everyone was activated because of their love for Madhavendra Puri and their love for each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started a kirtan in a particular room. The kirtan, everyone was dancing and chanting in a courtyard. And Advaita wanted Lord Chaitanya to see everything happening. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so happy to see the arrangements. There were, in preparation of the festival, there were literally several rooms filled with rice about to be cooked. There were several rooms filled with coconuts, rooms filled with bananas, banana leaves, rooms filled with various types of sabjis, rooms filled with ghee and yogurt and cream, dahi. What arrangements? He was thinking, how is anybody? Advaitacharya just told us earlier in the day we should arrange for this festival. How did he get all this? There was nothing here yesterday. This is impossible. This is supernatural. Such incredible facilities are here. And so many devotees. And Sachi Devi volunteered, "I will cook everything for everyone." And she did. Everyone wanted to help her. So Lord Chaitanya was going and he was saying, so many people, there was somebody, you know, taking this big piece of cloth and putting it on a nail and covering up some wall. And everybody, they were decorating flowers with banners. The deities, Lord Chaitanya was thrilled to see the enthusiasm of all the devotees. So united. And nobody said a single word except the names of Krishna. Similar to the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. Everyone was absorbed in seva, absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, and absorbed in assisting one another and giving happiness to each other in honor of Madhavendra Puri. Sri Chaitanya saw it all, then he came back to the kirtan and chanted and danced. Until night, all day he had kirtan with his devotees. And then after the bhoga was offered to Sri Madhavendra Puri, they brought the bhoga to Lord Chaitanya. He was glorifying again each preparation. It was cooked for masses of people, all with the hands of Sachimata. Everyone else was just assisting her. After the feast, they had kirtan. Sachimata and Advaita Prabhu asked Lord Chaitanya to stay more days, and he did. Then he proceeded to Kumarahata, where unannounced, he just appeared at Srivas Thakur's house. After Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip, Srivas Thakur and his brothers, Ramai Pandit, Sri Ram, Sripati, Sri Nidhi, Srivas. There were four brothers. Srivas couldn't live there without Lord Chaitanya. He had too many memories of Lord Chaitanya dancing and singing in his home. So he and Ramai Pandit settled in Kumarahata. And now after so many years of separation, Lord Chaitanya is at his house. Malini cooked wonderful prasad. Of course they had kirtan. And one day, that very famous conversation took place. Lord Chaitanya said, you have a big family, Srivas, and all you do is chant and dance at home and just talk about Krishna and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. How do you maintain your family? And Srivas said, everything is fine. He said, but still, Lord Chaitanya said, but still, if you're a sannyasi, you go out and beg and maintain yourself. If you're a grihasta, you have to have a livelihood. After all, you know, you have your brothers, you have family members, and you have this home. How do you possibly maintain it without some occupation? And Srivas, he said, everything is fine. Lord Chaitanya said, then you should take sannyas. If you're not going to work, if you're not going to do any livelihood, you should take sannyas. Srivas said, no, I'm not qualified to take sannyas. Well, you're a Brahmin, why don't you at least go out and beg? You never leave your house. And Srivas, he just smiled. And Lord Chaitanya said, give me an answer. Srivas smiled even more. He said, this is my answer. 1, 2, 3. two, three. Lord Chaitanya said, what does that mean? Shiva said, that's the answer. Lord Chaitanya said, you clapped and said one, two, three. What kind of answer is that? Shiva said, if I fast for 3 days, and after that 3 days, if myself and my whole family do not have everything we need to be happy, then I will fill a clay pot with rocks. I will tie that clay pot of rocks to my neck. Then I will jump in the Ganga and drown myself. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he went into ecstatic emotion. He said, Srivas, you have so much faith in Krishna. You have so much faith in Krishna. He raised his arms with a thunderous roar. Lord Chaitanya was so happy to hear this answer. He said, Srivas, because of your faith, because of your surrender, even if there's a drought, even if the goddess of fortune has to go door to door to beg, I vow that there will never be a single moment when your house does not have all the necessities for your happiness. Srivatsa was very happy. When the devotees of that area heard Lord Chaitanya was there, they started coming to visit. Soon came Vasudev Dutt. Lord Chaitanya expressed his love for Vasudev Dutt. He said, I am Vasudev Dutt's property. He owns me. Wherever he wants to sell me, I am sold. His compassion conquered Lord Chaitanya's heart. At every minute, at every day, Vasudev Dutt was absorbed in thinking of the well-being of every living entity. He wanted to give Krishna to everyone, everywhere. He was so concerned. As a brother loves brothers, as a father loves children, he had such concern for the spiritual well-being of all beings. Later in Puri, he begged Lord Chaitanya, let me take the sins of everyone and suffer hellish conditions perpetually, and let everyone else go back home, back to Godhead, to enjoy your pastimes. That was his genuine emotion. Lord Chaitanya said, I am your property. In fact, Lord Chaitanya, in his love, he said, I am only Vasudev Dutt's property. He would glorify him as if he had 1,000 mouths. Shivananda Sen came with Vasudev Dutt. And so many other devotees, Gadadhar Das, Purandar, Lord Chaitanya, before leaving, he told Ramai Pandit that your elder brother is Srivas. If you want to please me, always give the highest honor and respect to your brother and assist him in everything he does. You see, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing what pleases him most is without envy. We truly are in the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. From there, Lord Chaitanya went to Panihati and met with Raghava Pandit. And on his way back to Puri, he came to a place near Calcutta, which is called Varahanagar. As he was passing through, he heard one Brahmin reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya came to that very place. The Brahmin, for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya, recited special select verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya said, "Read it again, read it again." With even more enthusiasm, he read the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya said, "Read it, read it." And he read it. Lord Chaitanya kept saying, "Read it, read it." And he read it. Lord Chaitanya went into such an ecstasy hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. As this devotee was reciting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing to the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. I've never seen anything. I've seen many Srimad Bhagavatam classes, but not like that. In uncontrollable ecstasy, all the ecstasies of ecstatic love, Mahabhav, Radharani's Anand was manifesting in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the only thing Lord Chaitanya would say, "Read again, read again." For 9 hours, this devotee was speaking verses of Srimad Bhagavatam and Lord Chaitanya was dancing in ecstasy. When Lord Chaitanya finally sat down, he said, "Because you have given so much nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you are truly authority of the Bhagavatam. And I give you the title, Bhagavat Acharya." Because the nature of a true devotee is our greatest happiness, is to see others being blessed, others empowered, others happy and with Krishna. All the devotees roared with a great cheer of happiness upon seeing Lord Chaitanya give his mercy. And from there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally returned to Jagannath Puri. When he arrived, he was greeted by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and the other devotees. And Lord Chaitanya, with such humility, he said, "It was my longing to go to Vrindavan. And I took so much efforts to get to Vrindavan. But Krishna would not let me go to Vrindavan because I caused pain to the heart of Gadadhar Pandit. Only if Gadadhar Pandit blesses me and gives me permission can I go to Vrindavan. Will Krishna allow me to go to Vrindavan?" Gadadhar Pandit, upon hearing this, he said, "You are the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can do anything you want. If you want my blessings and permission, I give you all my blessings and permission. But first come to my house for prasad." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Tota Gopinath Temple. Gadadhar Pandit prepared a wonderful feast for him. Discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Soon after, in the middle of the night, Lord Chaitanya left for Vrindavan with only one associate, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. But we will discuss that another time. Because it's... This is Srimad Bhagavatam class. Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's only 3:30 in the afternoon. I think your clapping was in celebration that we that we finally ended the class. I wish you happy Gaur Purnima. We will be having kirtan throughout the rest of the day. And in a couple hours, we'll be having our evening program of Abhishek for Sri Sri Nitai Kora Chandra. And a beautiful... Is there drama tonight or tomorrow? Tomorrow. But we'll have Abhishek and kirtan and... Then we'll continue our Srimad Bhagavatam class. And then the Gaur Purnima Maha Arati. Tomorrow morning is Jagannath Mishra Festival. There will be a Gaur Katha in the morning. And in the evening there will be the celebration of Holi for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, and a beautiful drama being performed in the temple room. So since there's no prasad, it's a fast day, please chant, dance, and be happy.